The golden era of recording took place in 1968 to 1973. It's a time when a hard sound was raw and unrefined. This is where you could find the seeds of hip-hop.
Comes back around again.
L Boogie, is you with me?
What goes around, back around again.
Iceberg, is you with me?
Welcome, everybody, to the F-Ball NFL podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Hengst. I cover the National Football League at BleacherReport.com, Scout.com's Orange and Brown Report, Sports on Earth, and TheComeback.com. I'm joined by my co-host, Brian.
Yes.
And it is our comeback. Indeed.
It is our comeback indeed.
We've had a couple week absence here thanks to illness and Thanksgiving and technical difficulties involving microphones.
And we're re-equipped with new stuff.
New technology.
Hopefully everything sounds better.
Hopefully everything sounds better, more consistent, and we'll be playing with it over the next couple of weeks as well. Past three weeks we haven't been here, but a lot of stuff has happened in the NFL, and I guess we should talk about some of that before we get into the playoff picture and, of course, our Week 14 minute picks. A lot of changes again at the quarterback front, mostly for injury. Tony Romo, he finally came back from his fractured collarbone, played one game. Second game back, Thanksgiving, broke the collarbone again. They're still not putting him on injured reserve, though, because the Cowboys' postseason hopes are still alive, and it's possible that Romo could be healed up in time for a playoff bid. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco tore his MCL and ACL in Week 11. The Ravens also suffered another significant injury in that game, a fractured arm suffered by lead running back Justin Forsett. Both of those guys are now on injured reserve. Matt Schaub is serving as the starting quarterback for the Ravens moving forward. In his two starts, he's already thrown one pick six per game, the Matt Schaub special. He might not be able to go this week, and if that's the case, Jimmy Clausen will be the Ravens starter. We talked about before we took our unexpected three-week break about what the developments were involving San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who had been benched.
Mainly we were aghast at the idea that
Blaine Gabbert
was going to be utilized by any team at any point.
And thought to be some sort of answer at the position. But he's actually played quite well in relief of Kaepernick, who also was subsequently placed on injured reserve, having to undergo shoulder surgery. And that's, of course, not the only quarterback situation where we've seen changes. The Cleveland Browns. Lots of drama at the quarterback position there. Coming off of the Week 11 bye, they were prepared to name Johnny Manziel the starter. Manziel breached the trust of his coaches and teammates, was demoted to third string. Josh McCown again got the start. McCown now out for the season with a broken collarbone. Austin Davis got the start last week, but now they're switching back to Manziel, presumably, granted that Manziel, you know, keeps his nose clean, for the final four games of the season. Of course, that's typically, generally speaking, for evaluative purposes at this point. The Browns have two wins. Maybe they'll get one more this Sunday, but it's not looking good for them to be more than a 2 or 3 win team this year.
Are they still currently the number one overall?
They have the number one overall pick in the draft at present, with the worst record in the league, of course, at 2-10 or 2-11 or whatever it is. It's bad. I've lost count, and I cover this. I lost track, and I cover this team. And there's been a lot of stuff going on that has affected the playoff picture around the league.
Yeah, things are starting to take shape.
Things are starting to take shape slowly but surely. The thing to keep in mind, though, that there are only five teams in the entire NFL right now with double-digit wins. Those would be in the AFC, the 10-2 Cincinnati Bengals, the 10-2 Denver Broncos, and the 10-2 New England Patriots, who most notably have dropped their last two games. In the NFC, the Carolina Panthers remain undefeated at 12-0, and the Arizona Cardinals improved to 11-2 by defeating the Minnesota Vikings on Thursday night. Now, right now, because of the Patriots losing their last two games, owed in part because of injuries suffered by Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman now doesn't look like he's going to be playing this week. They went from the top seed in the conference now to the third seed. The Cincinnati Bengals are the top seed in the AFC at present. They have the tiebreak because of conference wins, while Denver is 10-2 with a tiebreak over New England because they beat New England, I think. Did they beat New England? They have a tiebreak over New England.
Yes.
And in the NFC, even though Minnesota did lose on Thursday night, they are 8-5 and still the NFC's fifth seed. The first seed, of course, is Carolina. Second seed, the Arizona Cardinals. Third seed, the 8-4 Green Bay Packers, who have had struggles of their own as of late. Number four right now in the lead in the NFC East is Washington at 5-7. But the Philadelphia Eagles are also 5-7, as are the New York Giants, whereas the Dallas Cowboys at 4-8. And the 16th seed, the last place seed in the entire NFC, still alive to win their division and go to the playoffs, if you can believe it. Meanwhile, we've got Minnesota as the wild card at 8-5, along with Seattle at the sixth seed at 7-5. But again, they too are surging. In the AFC, after New England, we've got the Colts at 6-6 in the lead in the AFC South. But the Houston Texans are also at 6-6 and could overcome them in the final four games of the year. Kansas City Chiefs surging, winning lots of games in a row at this point, stringing together wins, 7-5, kind of locked in at this point. For the AFC's fifth seed. New York Jets also 7-5, as are the Pittsburgh Steelers. But because the Jets and the Chiefs have more conference wins right now than Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh is the seventh seed. The Buffalo Bills also looking for a wild card playoff spot with a 6-6 record. So we've got some really good teams at the top of both conferences, and kind of a logjam of you know, mediocre records on paper and the bottom part of the playoff picture, but a lot of different versions of teams here. You know, you've got the Chiefs that are on this win streak. You've got the Steelers looking, you know, ever increasingly stronger, especially on defense. In the NFC, you know, Minnesota not playing so well at the quarterback position lately, but Adrian Peterson's come on. They do have a lot of injuries on defense to keep an eye on at the end of the season. And Seattle, you know, everything's kind of coming together for them, even with Jimmy Graham on injured reserve. And Marshawn Lynch probably out for at least the rest of the regular season, if not through the playoffs. So there's a lot of intrigue happening in this playoff picture.
Well, there's a lot to, you know, the teams that are, you know, definitely in at this point. Obviously, there's intrigue to follow how that all shakes out, where they end up exactly, you know, who's going to be able to get those bye weeks and those in the home fields and whatnot. And, you know, obviously that's especially important for, you know, for all those teams. So that'll be fun to watch. But, yeah, the rest of it is, you know, muddy waters, and we're going to have to see what settles to the bottom and what ends up being the clear picture there. So
yeah, and the great thing about that, too, is the way that the NFL schedule fixers have approached this over the past few years, in just the past couple of years, is putting key divisional matchups at the end of the season to make everything a little bit more compelling in terms of who's going to be division champion, who's going to go to the playoffs. And so we're going to see a lot of those games shaken out over the next couple of weeks. So those are all things to keep an eye on, because at any moment, so much of these playoff pictures, particularly these wild card battles in both the AFC and the NFC, and the seeding overall, I think we're going to see a lot of changes over the next 4 weeks. So it's going to be a really entertaining thing to keep an eye on. I mean, it's always entertaining. It's always compelling at the end of any NFL season. But because, you know, there are so few clearly good teams in terms of win-loss record, at least at this point, you know, everybody can kind of say, oh, well, this isn't a competitive season. This isn't a good season to watch. There's been all these referee errors and all this bad play on the field. But at the same time, there's been a lot of compelling games, a lot of compelling teams, and things are going to shake out. The way the season shakes out and the way the postseason shakes out, they're going to be two totally different things, and we're going to see a lot of competitive and compelling football to be played, not just at the end of the season, but definitely in the postseason.
So without getting into, you know, straight up, you know, the playoff predictions as of today or anything, I don't like to go there or anything. But let's say of the teams that are definitely in the mix or potentially in the mix, who do you feel the best about as far as their chances to do well in the playoffs?
I feel really good about the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that this is a team that's turned a corner this year. I think this is a team that could not only have a first round bye in the playoffs, but honestly win out and be able to go to the Super Bowl. Just the way
I think that if they get that first playoff win, you know, they get that boulder off their back. Mm-hmm. You could see them in the Super Bowl.
Sky's the limit there. Yeah. They have so much talent, and they know that the time is running out in terms of keeping the band together, in terms mm-hmm. of the salary cap situation, contracts, and guys getting older, and all of that. So they know that the time – and they've it's something that the whole team has kind of acknowledged since the offseason, since the spring, really. So I think that they're really dialed in. Mm-hmm. On being a very good team this year that can make a deep playoff run, and I do believe that they have that capability. I really like Carolina. You know, a lot of times people were talking, well, it's a fluke. This team really isn't that good. I mean, to get to 12-0 at this point, and I understand that the NFC South maybe isn't the most competitive division, but it's more competitive than it was last year. I mean, Tampa Bay is still in the hunt at 6-6. Atlanta is still in the hunt at 6-6. And while Tampa Bay is trending northward right now and things are trending kind of southward for Atlanta. I mean, this division is still in better shape than it was last year. And the way that the Panthers are winning games, they're winning games with defense. They're winning games from behind. They're winning blowouts. They're winning using the pass. They're winning running the ball. They're winning in so many ways right now. And they're on such a hot streak that it's hard to deny what they have accomplished at this point.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And I love the Arizona Cardinals. I love everything that's going on there. The defense, the Carson Palmer passing offense, everybody bought into the Bruce Arians thing. They're 11-2, and I think that they're an extremely dangerous team. I think this is a team, out of all of the teams that are in playoff contention right now, to me, Arizona looks the most Super Bowl capable, Super Bowl ready, and Super Bowl championship caliber out of all of these teams. I'm very impressed with Cincinnati. Denver's doing a good job with Brock Osweiler at quarterback, and the defense is still playing well. New England has just been kind of hamstrung by injuries, that if they can overcome it, obviously you're talking about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You know, you can't count out Green Bay just because they're 8-4 right now when you've got Aaron Rodgers under center there. And you know, Seattle's is surging at the end of the year, and they've been to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, and Pittsburgh is, you know, right now on the outside looking in, but if they get in, what they bring to the table on offense,
super dangerous, yeah.
And defense, definitely, you know, no one really wants to face them in the wild card round, I would assume. And there are a lot of teams that have a lot of promise, but out of everything that I see right now in the AFC and the NFC in the playoff picture, to me, Arizona is the team to beat.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I personally think in the NFC, obviously, you know, Carolina and in Arizona, I think are sitting right there, looking the best as of today. It's hard to count out Seattle though, because if they start playing their best ball right now, you know, they have that experience. They've been so recently, they've done so well
yep.
in the playoffs,
and they know what it takes,
and they know exactly what it takes. So, and they have, you know, Jimmy Graham. Or no, he's out. Sorry,
Jimmy Graham's on injured reserve.
That he's out for the year. Never mind. So that's what's funny. They had a hard time getting things going earlier in the year, trying to work him into the offense. They started doing a little bit better that. Then they lose him for the year, and then they start playing their best football all year. So.
Right. I mean, they don't have Marshawn Lynch either. I mean, they have Thomas Rawls out there running the ball instead of Marshawn Lynch. And
Lynch, they could get back.
They
right?
could get back, but not before the playoffs.
Right. Well, the way Rawls is playing, though, yeah,
they
kind of feel like
it
doesn't matter. So,
right.
I think that Seattle is certainly one to keep an eye on there in the NFC. The Packers, it's hard to count out Rodgers, but at the same time, you know, we've seen enough issues from that team.
Right. For example, that offense leads the league in dropped passes right now with 41,
exactly.
and the next best team or next worst team, I guess, would be the Oakland Raiders with Derek Carr and his receiving core, and that's 30 drop passes. So that's a big jump between 41 and 30. I mean, that's a lot of drop passes for the Packers this year.
Yeah. So I think really the NFC the NFC comes down to those three teams, if you will. The one that's playing well, you know, squeezing their way in there and has that experience of doing so well the last
Seahawks,
couple years
yeah.
with Seahawks, and then obviously the two that have been, you know, clearly out in front all season. On the AFC side, I think, yes, Cincinnati, obviously, and again, like we said, if they do win that first one, look out, because they're really playing well this year. I think that Pittsburgh, like you mentioned, if they make it in, they have that dangerous factor just because they have so many weapons on offense, and like you said, the defense has found a way to
it's an inconsistent defense is the problem.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? And there are some weeks when the pass rush really brings it, like this past week, and when the secondary doesn't have a bunch of missed tackling issues. But when they play poorly and they can't get pressure or they get those missed tackles, it's a lot to ask that offense. You know, it's one thing in the regular season when you're playing a team like the Browns to have that offense, you know, make up for the defense playing poorly because they can against an opponent like Cleveland or some of the marginal opponent, the Titans or something
right.
like that. But when you're talking about playoffs and a deficient defense in the playoffs, we're playing the best of the best.
Yeah, you could
get
exposed.
And the game plans are completely different, and it's like a brand new season.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, because we've seen it year after year of these very good offenses getting into the playoffs and. Because their defenses are weak or inconsistent, that's what costs them playoff wins.
Right, yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye on in that situation. Then, and again, they're still on the outside looking in.
Yeah,
the seventh
right.
seed.
They still got to work their way in, and that might – I don't think it's all on – it's not necessarily all on them. They need some things to happen, too.
They need
too,
some things
so.
To happen as well, and especially involving the Chiefs and the Jets.
So that'll be fun. And then, obviously, you know, you can – You should never, you know, count out Touchdown Tom.
You count out Touchdown Tom.
But, yeah, you know, obviously the Patriots are always going to be in the mix. And, you know, despite the little slump they've had here, they obviously could just, you know, turn that back around and get things going. If they get Gronk back, which they might have him back.
As early as
tomorrow. Yeah,
tomorrow.
Exactly. So, you know, and depending on, you know, how bad he is, as long as he doesn't re-aggravate anything and he's going to be healthy going forward, they're obviously going to be in the mix.
It's obvious that offense runs through him mm-hmm. at this point. And so what they really need when you're dealing with injuries to Amendola and Edelman and all of that is that you need Gronkowski out there in order to win games.
Absolutely. And I think the most intriguing one to me right now is Denver. And it's because, mm-hmm. one, their defense is just been lights out this year.
It's been a very good defense this year.
And I don't see any signs of that letting up. And I don't necessarily buy it with Brock Osweiler. But
I don't not buy it either.
But I don't not buy it, but I also don't know that we won't see Peyton Manning.
Right. And
then it's like, well, what is that going
to
look like?
That's the thing that's curious to me is when you look at Peyton Manning's recent playoff history is, you know, everybody talks about he chokes in the playoffs. He's a playoff choker. But he's still Peyton Manning. He's still making, you know, a bajillion million dollars to be the quarterback of the Broncos, and he's not out there right now because he's hurt, not because Brock Osweiler is better. So I would assume that if Osweiler can help carry them and keep them in this playoff picture, which I'm sure, I'm not even certain that that's going to be the case just because of how the Chiefs have surged.
Mm-hmm.
But do you turn away from Osweiler if he's doing enough, knowing that Peyton, even when he's healthy, is still, you know, he's older, the arm strength,
yeah,
all of that.
He's
you know,
still
what
the,
do you do? But he's Peyton. But he's
Peyton Manning. He's the one of the best quarterbacks ever, and he's.
I don't really think the Broncos know what they're going
to
do.
I don't think they know either, that, and that's why it's so amazingly and fascinating to me. Is like if he's ready to go, it's week the first week of the playoffs or the first week that Denver would play, and then you're sitting there with. You know, Brock Osweiler, who's coming along and has looked okay.
And you know he has the support of the coaches and the front office. Like, that's been something that's
right.
well established.
Right. And then, do you go back to one of the greatest quarterbacks ever who has a ring, who, yeah, people can say that he's choked in the playoffs, but at the same time, he was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Now, they did happen to get killed in that Super Bowl, but they got
there. And he's not the same quarterback even than he was
right,
that
exactly.
time.
Exactly. It's
so.
A different team, different things that he's trying to do there. So, that's going to be a real fun one to watch, I think.
Just to see how
that plays out, exactly.
Well, we are going to take a quick break here on this week's edition of the F-Ball NFL podcast, and we'll be back with our Week 14 minute picks, so stay tuned. And welcome back.
Nasty Nas, is you with me? At this very moment, you about to witness another golden era of recording. Let's shine a light on this real shit. The Lord won't put too much on you than you can deal with. I learned early why I deal drugs when I can deal with. Plus I'm down to kill, plus switch kills. Kill a friend of yours quick, like flipping the kill switch. Me being the illest, it was written. My lyrics are illmatic, though. Before the skateboarders controlled the genre, your favorite rapper.
And we're back here at the F-Ball NFL podcast, which means it is now time for our Week 14 Minute Picks.
Minute Picks.
Of course, the Thursday night game already spoken for, Minnesota Vikings at the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona wins 23-20, improving to 11-2 on the season. Let's go into Sunday's game, starting, of course, with the early slate, beginning with the Buffalo Bills at the Philadelphia Eagles. LeSean McCoy seeking his revenge against his former team. I think Philadelphia has a good shot at winning this game. They're 5-7, still in that playoff hunt for the NFC East. And they've been playing a lot better over the past couple of weeks as compared to the beginning of the season. There's a lot to like about Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor is healthy and clearly much more effective when he is. And LeSean McCoy is going to be running angry, like I said. But I'm going to go with the home team here. I'm going to go with the NFC East. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, I guess I'm just going to bet against the NFC East here. I do like what Buffalo's been doing lately, especially with Tyrod. Once he got back from that injury, he's looked really good. And he's been able to be that dynamic guy and help them, to success, basically. So that and, you know, it's again, it's the Eagles. It's tough to tell what you're going to get from them regardless, but I think in this game I'm going to fade the NFC East and go with the Bills here.
Next up, the 4-win San Francisco 49ers are at the 2-win Cleveland Browns. Johnny Manziel will be making yet another start for the Browns this year, his fourth of the season. The Browns, you know, they can really take advantage of a San Francisco passing defense that's pretty deficient, especially in the secondary as far as coverage is concerned. But at the same time, potentially no Taylor Gabriel with that concussion. Andrew Hawkins already ruled out with a concussion. Gary Barnage is questionable with his injury, his ankle injury. Travis Benjamin questionable with a shoulder. Marlon Moore questionable with ribs. So needless to say, not a lot of receivers to go around for Mr. Manziel for a team that has zero run game and zero run defense. I think this is the best opportunity for the Browns to win another game this year, but will they? I don't think so, just because they're going to struggle to pass the ball. They cannot run, and they cannot defend anything.
Those are all very valid points, but I'm going to defy you here.
Well, I think the Browns will be happy about that.
I've been kind of down on San Francisco all year, and with good reason. And
we got Carlos Hyde's on IR, and Blaine Gabbert's the quarterback.
Gabbert's kind of looked better, but yeah. Regardless, this is mainly a pick based on it's in Cleveland. They looked so terrible last week. As bad as I've seen them play under Pettine, basically. So this could be a foolish pick, but I see them bouncing back from that. Like you said, I agree. I think this is probably the most winnable game left on the schedule. And it's, you know, Johnny. It's going to be Johnny's first start without, and you know, fear that it's going to get yanked out from under him anytime, you know, shortly thereafter. So. I feel it enough for this week. We'll see what happens after that.
Next, we have the Detroit Lions at the St. Louis Rams. Quarterback play, offense in general in St. Louis, kind of struggling so far. I mean, they've gotten rid of their offensive coordinator. They're making a lot of coaching changes on the offensive side of the ball in hopes of turning the season around and maybe saving Jeff Fisher's job for another year. I think Detroit can come in here and win this game. I think that there's enough, you know, positives on that team. Of course, you're going to have to keep an eye out for that St. Louis defensive front against, you know, trying to take down Matt Stafford. But I think Detroit has a lot of pluses, you know, and we've seen them play very inconsistent football. So I wouldn't be surprised if they head on the road into this dome and do not win. But I like their chances against a deficient St. Louis offense this week.
Yeah, I think you're right that they could go in there and win. The question is, will they? The Lions are just a tough team to peg down as far as what to expect. It's tough to expect anything
right,
other than some craziness. So with that said, I agree St. Louis has some deficiencies, especially at the quarterback position. They do have a stout front, although I think they're down Robert Quinn this week. There's a lot of reasons to pick Detroit, but I'm not going to do it just because I don't trust them, especially on the road. They could, but I don't know. I can't see myself calling this.
The New Orleans Saints are at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers, of course, firmly in that playoff race with a 6-6 record right now. You know, the Saints, they still have that high-scoring, high-powered, yard-accumulating, passing-oriented offense right now. And And, you know, they can put up points, they can put up yards, but the thing is that defense is still just really quite terrible. And now there's no more Mark Ingram. He's been placed on injured reserve. So that does affect what they do in the passing game, especially when it comes to throwing to running backs, and kind of see where C.J. Spiller and everybody else kind of fits into the mix this week is going to be interesting. But the Buccaneers, you know, they've been really trending upwards. They struggled a bit earlier on in the season, playing a lot better now. Jameis Winston in particular doing a really good job. And I think with this game being in Tampa Bay and New Orleans defense being what it is, I like the Buccaneers to get the win.
I'm going to agree. Especially with, you know, with what we've seen from Tampa lately, they've turned into a scrappy team that rather than a doormat, you know, they're tough to deal with on a weekly basis, and especially lately they've been able to put some wins together. Jameis has looked very spirited out there. And New Orleans is just notoriously terrible on the road. I would guess there's going to be a lot of points in this favoring the Buccaneers.
Tennessee Titans are at the New York Jets. The Jets currently the AFC sixth seed in the playoff hunt with a 7-5 record and the tiebreaker over the also 7-5 Pittsburgh Steelers. I really like the Jets here. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has proven to be, you know, more than serviceable at quarterback this season. And while, you know, Marcus Mariota is nothing to kind of scoff at, when you think about, you know, this Todd Bowles defense, the guys that are up front for the Jets versus a rookie quarterback, granted a more experienced rookie quarterback in Mariota at this point, but still a rookie quarterback playing on the road with the Jets really trying to stay in that playoff picture, I think everything kind of points towards the Jets getting the victory this week.
Yeah, Tennessee, I think, has outperformed my expectations this year.
Sure,
Especially after they got rid of, you know, Wiz and Hunt, it kind of seemed like they were packing it in. But they've definitely been able to scrap themselves together and be another one of those teams that's not necessarily somebody you can walk over. I just think this is a bad situation for them, though, going to the Jets, who are definitely a solid team, way better than I expected them to be this year. They're playing, you know, they have so much on the line at this point, and they're at home. So I'm taking the Jets as well.
Next up is the week's marquee matchup. The Pittsburgh Steelers are at the Cincinnati Bengals. The 10-2 Bengals can clinch the AFC North Division with a win here, and the Pittsburgh Steelers can stay in the playoff hunt if they win. Of course, they are the seventh seed, like I said. You know, both these teams, obviously very explosive offenses, passing games on point, run games going really well, offensive lines doing a good job at pass protection and run blocking this year. Bengals, definitely more consistent team when it comes to defense than the Steelers. Steelers played very well against the Indianapolis Colts last week in that 45-10 win. But at the same time, that's the first time in a couple of weeks we've seen them really step up, both in the front seven and in the secondary. The one thing to keep an eye on here, the red zone. Cincinnati's offense, one of the best in the red zone. Defense, one of the best in the red zone, especially when they're playing at home. Steelers, kind of not so much. Maybe top 10, you know, generally, but top 15, top 16 when on the road. And so that red zone is going to be the thing to watch. And I think because the Bengals defend it so well, granted a lot of after-catch stuff happening in Pittsburgh, but because of that defense and that offense of Cincinnati, I think the Bengals can get that home win.
I'll be quick here. The history favors the Steelers in this match because it's Ben Roethlisberger playing in Cincinnati, and for some reason that's been successful for them over the years.
Yes.
But this is a Cincinnati team that is better than any that we've seen in a long time, and they're proving their doubters wrong. So I'm going to give the edge to Pittsburgh, I guess, because of the history, but mainly because they have a little bit more to play for. They're playing to get into the playoffs, where
they're playing to stay in that picture.
Exactly.
Because if the Chiefs and the Jets win this week,
exactly,
they're still the seventh seed, even
and
if they
win. So they
win.
Have to keep pace just
they
to stay to in the
pace,
game.
Yeah.
So because of that, I'm going to give them the edge in this. But you know, I've been proved wrong many times by Cincinnati this year. So we'll see what happens.
Next, the Indianapolis Colts are at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Currently, the Colts are the AFC South leaders with a 6-6 record. The Houston Texans, though, also at 6-6, not far behind. Matt Hasselbeck will be starting this week. They were kind of worried maybe Charlie Whitehurst would have to get in there at quarterback, but it looks good for Hasselbeck's prospects this week. He was going into last week against the Steelers 4-0 as a starter this year, now 4-1. I like Jacksonville to win this game. I think that, you know, we saw where the issues lie with the Colts and why maybe this Hasselbeck thing with the winning was maybe a little bit overblown in terms of what they can actually, you know, produce on offense, you know, with the run game, with the O-line, with the passing game, plus that defense that's been struggling. And, you know, you've got a matchup-proof wide receiver in Allen Robinson for Jacksonville, and, I mean, you can make that whole offense run through him, and I think the Jaguars will have a really good day. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
Yeah, unfortunately for Jacksonville, I'm going to agree with you. Because for some reason, every time I pick Jacksonville, they don't win. But I kind of feel what you're saying as far as this. It was almost like a smoke and mirrors. It wasn't quite, because we saw the Colts and they were doing those things with Hasselbeck in there earlier in the year. But I also feel like maybe it's reached its time. And
right, it's not like they've turned from Drew Bledsoe to Tom Brady or Drew right. Bledsoe to Tony Romo here.
No, you know?
We're going from top.
I think it's just whatever that mojo magic was that was going on for Hasselbeck and the Hasselbeck Colts earlier this year. Might not be there now. I think that they'll still have a chance if they get luck back in time, if you will. But which there should be time in that division. So, but this week I like a lot of what's going on with Jacksonville, although they still figure out ways to lose each week. So, hopefully that won't happen this week, and I didn't jinx them again.
Next up, the San Diego Chargers are at the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are the AFC fifth seed, 7-5 record, and a 6-game win streak after losing 5 in a row after winning their season opener. You know, there's a lot of problems with San Diego right now. Phillip Rivers looks to be like he's going to be playing through the flu, and that's the least of their worries, really, because there's just been so many – their depth chart is just – the roster's been ravaged by injuries, particularly at the receiver position, on offense, offensive line. There's just been so many struggles there that I think going into Kansas City, this red-hot Chiefs team, they know where they stand in this conference. You know, I just feel like San Diego's going to be climbing an uphill battle, and they're not going to be able to get out of it. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs with the win.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough spot for the Chargers. They're a mash unit at this point. It's hard to field a team if you got the guys going down left and right like they've had. And, you know, Kansas City is definitely on the right trend right now. They're at home. It's always tough to play an Arrowhead. This one, I feel a little too comfortable with it, because I always – whenever I feel too good about a pick, I always second guess it. So, but I'm going to stick with the Chiefs here. So,
Washington travels to Chicago to face the Bears. You know, Washington, we've seen Kirk Cousins play really well this year. And
we've seen him play very terribly, too.
We've seen him play very terribly this year. And we've seen that defense look pretty good this year. And we've seen that defense look really bad this year. And you can kind of say the same thing for Chicago, but maybe on a less – there's less of a variance. It's not swinging. The pendulum isn't swinging as wildly in Chicago. I think the Bears, being at home here especially, have a really good shot at winning this game. You know, Washington, when they can put it together, can win. But also, you talk about the chaos. You know, Washington leads the NFC East, but they're 5-7. Eagles, Giants, and Dallas not far behind. Let's create that chaos. Let's keep that chaos going. I'm going with the Bears win.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the Bears last week I thought was somewhat of an aberration of what they've done over the last month and month and a half or so. Maybe it was an issue of almost getting too cocky out of all of a sudden because they were playing the Niners and it was at home and all that. And,
right.
And it did, the game got away from them. So I think that that's left a bad taste in their mouth. And that on top of the fact that Washington has not won on the road this season. So I think that trend's going to continue. So Bears.
The 6-6 Atlanta Falcons travel to the 12-0, yes, the undefeated Carolina Panthers on Sunday afternoon. You know, Carolina, they've clinched the division. They've clinched a playoff berth. They don't really have that much to play for, except for the fact that, of course, they are still undefeated and would doubtlessly love to stay that way. Atlanta, you know, technically still in that wild card playoff hunt with a 6-6 record, but their last 5 games versus their first 5 games have been a complete night and day situation. Atlanta's very much struggling at this point, and going into Carolina against a Panthers team that can find any which way to beat an opponent is not a good situation for them. Panthers are going to go to 13-0.
Yeah, this is another one that I almost feel a little too comfortable with. I think it's you know, how can the Panthers not win this game? The way that the Falcons have been playing lately, it's just it's turned into these defensive slugfest. For some reason, the offense just doesn't work anymore, and the defense has kept them in games and these low scoring games and all this. And So I think that trend will continue. We'll have another lower scoring game, but you know the Panthers are going to work their way out into the victory, if you will.
The final game of the early afternoon slate on Sunday: Seattle Seahawks on fire at 7-5, going to Baltimore to face the Ravens. And the Ravens, you know, the Ravens do not have a good record, but they haven't lost by a large margin of points this season. What they've lost more is on the roster. You know, quarterback Joe Flacco's done for the year, running back Justin Forsett, of course Steve Smith tearing his Achilles earlier this year, as did linebacker Terrell Suggs. They're not going to have tight end Crockett Gilmore this week. Receiver Marlon Brown is questionable. Tight end Max Williams, I believe, is also questionable. Matt Schaub, the new quarterback there, also questionable. And if he can't go, it's Jimmy Clausen. But if he can go, he's thrown a pick six in each of his last two starts for the Ravens, and they're up against Seattle's Legion of Boom. You know, I like the home field advantage thing. At least they get a West Coast team playing at a relatively early time, so maybe that could help things for Baltimore. But the injuries that have piled up, particularly on offense, plus, you know, left tackle Eugene Monroe on IR, center Jeremy Zuta on IR, it just doesn't look good for the Ravens. I have to go with Seattle here.
A whole minute on that one, I see.
Well, I know what's going on in Baltimore better than you do.
Well, I mean, I'm going to agree. Before this season, it was almost impossible to win an M&T, but we've seen it happen a number of times this year. I like Seattle's chances against the second and third stringers of the Ravens here. They just don't have anybody healthy. Although, I'm going to say that the Ravens are going to keep it close, because that we've seen all season.
That's true. And now we head into the two, yes, only two late afternoon games for Week 14. The Oakland Raiders are at the Denver Broncos. Denver trying to keep a hold of that number two seed, or maybe move up to that number one seed in the AFC, currently at 10-2. You know, Oakland's definitely played very well this year. I've been very impressed with Derek Carr. You know, there's a lot to really like about that defense. They can make things pretty difficult for their opponents. They can score a lot of points, as we saw. Even though they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, they still put up 35 points in that game. You know, I think that they're going to make things kind of challenging for Denver here. You know, you're talking about Brock Osweiler, and everybody's been very pleased with him, but it's really that Denver defense that's done a lot of the heavy lifting in this latter part of the season. And I think that they'll have a good day, and I think that Denver will win this game, but I think Oakland will give them a bit of a fight.
Yeah, I mean, Oakland's been scrappy all year, and that obviously shouldn't change Sunday. This is just a tough spot. You know, they're going in and playing Denver, arguably the best defense in the league right now. You know, regardless of who's under center for them, they're getting it done. And it's just, like I said, it's a tough situation for Oakland to have to play this game right now. I think, like I said, I think they'll fight and they'll keep it close. I think this is Denver's win.
Next up, the second of the two late afternoon games has the Dallas Cowboys still in the playoff hunt, though they're 4-8, taking on the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. The Packers are 8-4, the number three seed right now in the NFC, trying to stave off a challenge by that 8-5 Vikings team. So, Dallas, for the sake of the NFC East kind of chaos situation, I'm very pro Dallas because of just what's going on with Washington, Philadelphia, and the New York Giants. But going into Green Bay in this situation where Matt Castle's the quarterback, and they've only won one game with Matt Castle without Tony Romo this year. And Green Bay, you know, they've got all these dropped passes, they've had all these miscommunication issues on offense and things like that. But they can really turn things around with a team like Dallas coming to town this week, and I think that they really can do that. I can't count out Green Bay when you're talking about the Hasselbeck Dallas Cowboys. I mean, if this was Romo 100% healthy, maybe a different story, but I'm going to go with the Packers.
Yeah, you know, the Packers were reeling for a little while until they were gifted an untimed play in Detroit last week, where they made the most of it. They made the most of the fact that Jim Caldwell decided to play against the lateral as opposed to the Hail Mary there on that play.
And, brilliant move.
Just Lions like they couldn't Lions ever before. But regardless, I think that sort of thing could be a spark for them to really get themselves in shape and heading into the playoffs on a roll, potentially. So, you know, like you said, it's Cowboys with Castle at the helm. I think it could be an interesting game. If we see that reeling Packers from before.
Yes, the myriad drop passes.
And the Cowboys, you know, they have the ability to get in there and play teams tough, obviously. So I could see Dallas win it, but I'm going to go with the Packers here. Exactly.
Sunday Night Football features the New England Patriots on a two-game losing streak at the Houston Texans, who, again, at 6-6, are also well within the AFC playoff picture. New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, questionable. He was limited all week in practice, did travel to Houston. Looks like Danny Amendola will be playing also, but no Julian Edelman for the Patriots this week. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans here. I feel a little bit better about the Patriots' chances, given that Gronk is going to be out there. But because he had a knee injury, he was limited all week. They're going to need him for the playoffs. I don't know how limited he's really going to be. I feel like he's not going to be playing a full complement of snaps just because – you know, you weigh against this win or loss versus what's happening in January and what matters more. Houston, they've got a really good defensive front that can rattle Tom Brady. He does get rattled under pressure very, very obviously. So I'm going to go with Houston, though I do like New England more if Gronk does play. And then the more Gronk plays, the more I like the Patriots' chances.
Well, I'm going to say, irrespective of Gronk's status, I'm taking the Patriots here for two main reasons. One is I don't see a Patriots team coming off of a game as bad as they played last week.
And two straight losses.
And not to mention two straight losses, and not coming out and just and doing the Patriot thing again. You know, just I don't see that repeating itself, certainly, and I don't know how they don't bounce back from that. The other one is just the idea of Belichick and Brady playing Bill O'Brien and Brian Hoyer and not coming away with a win.
Yeah.
So that's those are my reasons for the Patriots.
And finally, Monday Night Football, the 5-7 and also, of course, still in the playoff hunt, New York Giants are at the Miami Dolphins. New York Giants, as inconsistent as ever this year. Offense, defense, the whole thing. They've also had to deal with a number of injuries that has depleted their depth this year. Meanwhile, Miami, you know, they're kind of trying to turn things around. They made some coaching changes to make things easier for quarterback Ryan Tannehill, allow him to have a little bit more freedom, call plays, the line of scrimmage. And it's starting to pay off for them slowly but surely. Let's go back to NFC East chaos. Let's go with the Giants on the road. I like Miami's chances a lot here. I'm picking the Dolphins on Monday night.
I think, you know, especially after Philbin got the boot earlier this year, we've seen the Dolphins turn into kind of what we expected them to be,
some people wanted them to win the entire division.
I was never really buying into all that anyway.
Not even if Tom Brady would have had that four-game suspension, would I have bought that.
I think they're a good, solid, middle-of-the-road team, and they play well when they should, and maybe they can't beat the top team sort of thing. Playing the Giants, I don't think the Giants are a top team. I think they can be at times, but, you know.
Not this year. This year's just not their year.
It's just not their year. It's not that division's year. I hope, you know, if you're a fan of one of these teams, don't feel like we're bagging on all the teams in the NFC East.
It's just difficult when you're about 5-7, 5-7, 5-7, and 4-8.
That's what I'm saying. We're not trying to trash on teams to trash on teams. We're just calling it like we see it, and that's what we've seen all year, and that's what everybody else has seen. So it's tough to see this Giants team going on the road to take on Miami. I mean, in winning that game, especially in a spotlight Monday night situation.
Yep. So, well, that does it. Those are our Week 14 minute picks here at the F-Ball NFL Podcast. And whatever you've been doing with them all season long, just keep doing that. However you employ our picks. Whatever your ritual has become, keep on it. I don't want to know about it. Just do it. So those are Week 14 picks. We're going to be right back here at the F-Ball NFL Podcast to wrap up this week's show. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Where it's cool to battle, your demons is cool to battle. No matter who you are, the golden era of recording. It's music out here for everybody. No matter who you is, we live in the golden era of recording. Let's shine a light on this real shit real quick. I'm a true karma chameleon. I've been through the illest, the ill shit. I believe. Well, that about does it for this week's edition of the F-Ball NFL Podcast.
feels good.
It feels good to finally be back and get this
done.
Well,
we've had like all these football thoughts like pent up for the past few weeks, and it's just like ready to explode. So
finally we have a functional microphone, a new functioning microphone that will allow that to happen.
Well, that's the thing. This actually would have turned into a marathon show, too, if it weren't for the technical difficulties. Now, we would try to keep this one a little short just because, you know, we're almost on the next week. And yeah, exactly. So
yeah, because, you know, it's week 14 and things are starting to get down to it. And we've already got one game played. And hopefully you guys get a chance to listen to this show before the Sunday slate of games kick off, or at least if you listen to it after the fact, see if we were right about what we were predicting. I'm, of course, the host here of the F-Ball NFL podcast. My name is Andrea Hengst. I cover the Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers at BleacherReport.com, cover the Browns salary cap and AFC North at Scout.com's Orange and Brown Report, and I cover the entire NFL at sportsonearth.com and thecomeback.com. Though at The Comeback, I do focus particularly on some salary cap contract details, going in depth. So if you're interested in that and you want to learn more about the ins and outs of contract structures and the salary cap in the NFL, please go to thecomeback.com and check out my columns there. You can also, of course, find me on Twitter at @FBall_Andrea. That's FBALL_Andrea.
And I'm Brian, and I cover the production of this podcast, and I can be found on Twitter at BFAT65. That's at BFAT65.
So now that we've got our technical difficulties taken care of, Thanksgiving is over, and hopefully neither of us will have any sort of horrible illnesses that keep us off the airwaves next week. We will be back for the week post week 14, pre week 15 edition of the F-Ball NFL podcast. We appreciate all of you listening. We appreciate all of your patience over the past couple of weeks, and
sorry, we missed you too.
We missed you too. Please please do know that the pining and the sadness is a two-way street here. And of course, we appreciate all of you guys for tuning in, and we'll be back next week here at the F-Ball NFL podcast.
Later.
Peace.